Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Craig Unger. Craig is the Federal Detention Trustee in the Office of the Federal Detention Trustee at the U.S. Department of Justice. Well, Craig, you've told us about your staff's plans to grow over the next 2 years. I'd be interested in hearing about those, again, in the sense that what training opportunities are going to be offered them as you look out?
Well, as we discussed earlier, in fiscal year 03, we've requested additional positions as part of our base. In addition, again, there are proposals to detail folks from the other components to our component. One of our goals is to streamline and manage the detention resources, again, so that we can hopefully use our resources in the most prudent manner for our agency. Predicting the impact of 9/11 and what growth that might have on our agency is still a bit difficult at this time. Training is certainly a big issue for me and personally in my office. To date, we've hired several personnel, or some of them have come from the BOP and INS, and they are knowledgeable about detention and incarceration issues. The focus groups that we've conducted have included folks from those staff. And as we grow, formal training programs will be necessary to be developed, perhaps in the areas of detainee management, contracting, and administering the intergovernmental agreements and contracts. So there's going to be a whole, I would say, program to be developed on from entry level to intermediate to advanced sound detention policies and procedures for us to embark upon. We could all use additional training to improve our problem-solving skills, no question. However, as we had discussed earlier, too, my initial focus is going to be to try to identify technology-driven solutions for tasks that currently command a substantial amount of resources and try to train staff to use those advanced technologies.
Well, it was funny. I was afraid you were going to omit technology, but you mentioned at the end, because I had a hard time imagining how to use technology to do the base of your work. You'll have technology, I imagine, around the administration and the care, much like the reservation system, but eventually it's always going to be moving people.
That's correct. Or identifying, I mean, having a real time, since we have such a dynamic, fluid population revolving through the doors of apprehensions and adjudication and removals, having a real time database to know where, how many we have, where we have them, average length of stay, how much it cost, and as it is now, those systems are not integrated to where, from a Department of Justice standpoint, that we can not only identify but then project what our future needs are going to be.
Looking back over your first year as the Federal Detention Trustee, what are your lessons learned?
Well, there's certainly been many lessons learned over the last year, and again, as I mentioned in the prior segment, it's certainly amazing to see how existing field personnel, law enforcement, are coping with the daily detention needs, and witnessing firsthand has certainly been an invaluable lesson to me. To participate on several of the JPATS flights, to walk through detention facilities, and to talk to people performing day in, day out, was certainly an eye-opener for me and a great opportunity. Through this process, I began to recognize the ways in which our office can provide some leadership and help reinforce the need for a consolidated approach to long-term strategies to again, ensuring we have the adequate beds where we need them, when we need them, that meet safe, secure, humane standards, and again, at an affordable, fair and reasonable price. Another lesson learned was to keep moving forward despite the obstacles. There's certainly been many times I felt that we were somewhat powerless to implement change. After all, with such a small handful of people, trying to implement change in such large, established agencies can get the dauber down, and so sort of an objective assessment is really a tool to sort of keep moving forward, get momentum, and trying to describe a problem that we were identifying that do not certainly not intended to assign blame, but just trying to see if we can identify efficiencies and agree upon solutions. I think that networking is necessary and vital to implementing long-term change and acceptance.
I think a lot of people feel like something you just said, that it's hard to be such a small group of people and implement change in such a large organization. And you said it's important to have objective assessments and kind of keep things going. What do you mean by that?
It seems like in any bureaucracy I've ever worked, there are certain processes and planning and approvals that it's easy to get distracted from the primary reason that you're in existence or what you're trying to perform. And I would say it's sometimes trying to zoom back and look at the issue from 30,000 feet. And we may have jumped off sides in comparing a football analogy here, but if we're if we're advancing the ball in the direction we're trying to go, we need to acknowledge that once in a while and, again, as the leadership that I'm trying to provide to this new organization is to encourage people to think outside the box, to challenge the ways and the methods that we've done things in the past and feel safe in doing that.
How will you measure the success of the office?
The official answer is the Government Performance Results Act, GPRA as it's known, requires federal agencies to identify all these plans and set goals and performance measures towards achieving those goals. And there's a variety of performance measures that the department has established over the years on evaluating detention services. Historically, we've identified jail day costs and the per capita and transportation and some of the other measures that you would imagine any agency would have. In our congressional report, we identified several others. For example, the adoption and implementation of uniform detention standards. Some of these aren't easily quantified. They're more quality-based, and I think they're important that we have a minimum level of safe, secure, humane services out there that we're measuring against, as opposed to just perhaps where we could put someone in a cheaper bed, and in the end, measuring the proximity to the court. How efficient are we if we get 300 miles from the courthouse and saving money, but we have to transport people back and forth, or attorneys have to go see their client or material witnesses? So trying to keep that in perspective and balance, I think, will certainly be an area that we should measure. Perhaps soft detention. Sometimes it's called alternative sanctions to making sure, since we only have a finite number of beds, that we get the right people occupying those beds. Maybe we could expand the use of video conferencing for certain proceedings or facilitating the court system or attorneys' clients' visits. Or we could look at electronic monitoring, home confinement, some of the technological advances in GPS systems that we may not have had the opportunities to use over the years. But there's, I guess, the ultimate way that I'll measure success is my hope that as a result of our efforts, that the stakeholders and observers, including on the Hill, will no longer need to look at detention and use the words crisis and emergency to describe the state of federal detention.
What's your vision for the office, say, for the next 5 years?
I'd say as a result of the recent law enforcement initiatives and improvements in law enforcement technology, first of all, just looking at the magnitude, I don't think it's probably not unrealistic to think, again, our average daily population is over 60,000 today, probably closer to 63,000. In 5 years out is what the question you ask. It probably is not, again, unrealistic to think that our average daily population could be over 100,000. And again, that is a significant amount of detainees to be responsible for on an ongoing basis. Over the next 5 years, I'd like to see our office achieve true consolidation of detention services from an operational standpoint. And this means, of course, federal detention under one agency. And the success factors I described earlier are realized. Again, I also, as I mentioned, expect technology to play a larger role in our future.
It was very interesting when you said you could see the number of detainees growing to something like 100,000. I guess it's kind of naive, but do you ever imagine scenarios where that number will go down? I mean, even go to zero? Is that?
Well, looking at the state incarcerated, again, these are convicted and sentenced inmates, we've seen drops in numerous states in their populations. So one would certainly hope we would, from a society, gravitate towards there eventually. Post 9/11, we actually saw the numbers flatten or go down. But that was a temporary aberration. They're back up now to pre 9/11 levels and growing. So I don't know. I'd be speculative to answer your question on that.
We've had a long career, and I'm curious, what advice would you give to a young person interested in a career in public service?
Well, I think to serve our country is a true honor. Government service is a rewarding experience, and there's ample opportunity for young people to make substantial contributions for the greater good. Growing up in rural West Virginia, I learned long ago that when one takes a job, we get compensated in two ways. First, of course, our salary, and secondly, we're paid by experience. My advice would be take the experience every time. The salary will catch up down the road. Like me, most of my staff started entry level in our agencies at pretty low the GS scale, and through some hard knocks and hard work and opportunities, we've had some excellent opportunities, and again, they've become experts in the various fields. So my advice to young people would be to seriously consider a career in government service.
Well, Craig, I'm afraid we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Great. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Craig Unger of the Department of Justice. Be sure and visit us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and you can get a transcript of today's conversation. Again, that's www.businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. See you next week.